You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome into the Dynasty Draft Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Anthony Correnti, joined by my co-hosts, Ryan Searfoss and Eric Adams. Boys, how are we doing tonight?
Fantastic, man. Excited for tonight's show. Do our favorite thing.
Pete Alonso, home run derby king. Oh, I mean, hi.
Can't be in a bad mood after that, right, Eric?
No, sure.
Well, kind of. That's it. Kind of like Ryan just alluded to, on today's show, we are going to be mock drafting. So be like a startup mock draft for your dynasty teams. And just a reminder, we are a year-round 365-day-a-year podcast network. The draft is over, but we have plenty of content still coming your way to help you digest the 2021 NFL draft and get prepped for the 2022 NFL draft. We're happy to make all this daily podcast content free. But in return, all we ask is that you please take less than 10 seconds and give the podcast a 5-star rating. So we'll get right into mocking. Eric's going to be picking from the 101. I'll be picking right in the middle from the 106. And then Foss at the end of the first round and on the other turn from the 112. For the sake of this one, we'll be doing one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, and two flexes. So just regular flexes, no super flex. And no bench, just for the sake of time and not having this run for hours and hours on end. So if you guys have anything else to add before we get started, please do. But otherwise, we can kind of get right into it.
No, just don't slight me.
All right, Eric. Well, whenever you're ready, kick things off. Feel free to go chalk or go crazy.
Am I allowed to pick already?
Yeah, you're on the clock, dude. I should probably hit start draft.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah.
Well, I got 4 hours, so I'm just going to kick back a little here and just give you a little story.
We can talk about whatever you want.
So today I went and saw Black Widow. No, I'm kidding. It was so good. Go see Black Widow. I'm not gonna get scared away here. I don't care about the injury last year. He's still 25 years old. I'm still taking Christian McCaffrey. He should still be the 101. Hilarious receiving upside. Still a great running back. Hopefully the Panthers get their quarterback situation squared away with Sam Darnold. I still believe in Christian McCaffrey. 101.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that. I mean, it feels so chalk, but you really can't go wrong. I agree. I'm not worried about the injury. There's too much to like, even in the, you know, we've seen him with less than ideal quarterback situation before, even if Darnold isn't an upgrade. So there's not a lot to knock for taking Christian McCaffrey 101. The following couple picks after McCaffrey were Dalvin Cook second, Derrick Henry third, Alvin Kamara fourth, Saquon Barkley fifth. This is pretty easy for me here. It's kind of that interesting tier, I guess, where halfway through round one in single quarterback, obviously it's way too early for me to start looking at any of those guys yet. And I'm not willing to start the run on receivers, but I'm going to take Jonathan Taylor. I love Jonathan Taylor. Similar to how you said you're not scared off of Christian McCaffrey, I'm not scared off that the receiving work is going to vanish for Jonathan Taylor. I know that there's been talk of concern about that with Carson Wentz in town, but I think Jonathan Taylor is an elite talent. I think he proved that last year. People kind of overthought some of the stuff coming out of Wisconsin and went crazy with the Clyde Edwards-Helaire fit, but I think he's I have him right now as my RB2 in Dynasty. So I will take him sixth overall happily. And then after that, Zeke, Chubb, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Devontae Adams, and Foss, you're up at 112.
Yeah, at the 112, we've had a lot of really talented guys. Yeah, kind of hit a little bit of a dip there, but I'm going to hit Young on the running back position. I'm going with Cam Akers for my first pick. He's still only 22, obviously. He's in a system that the running back has succeeded in the past, and he showed that he is the premier running back there. I'm not scared away by Darrell Henderson or anything else, and I think Stafford's going to work with him very well. And this one, a little bit confused on, because I know running backs don't always last in Dynasty. So I'm going to take a little bit of a swing here and take Justin Jefferson. I think he gives me a great floor, and he has a ceiling of wide receiver one. So I'm pairing two high upside guys for the future at two core positions.
I like it. I like both of those picks. I know that the running back thing in Dynasty is weird, because I wholly subscribe to, like, I'm going to fade them on their second contract and not, you know, I'm trying to trade them early as I, you know, at the right time to get the return. But in startups, I still want them. You know what I mean? Like, I still want the stud guys, and you got to still invest pretty early, I think, to get the guys that you do really want or do are going to be good for the next 2 to 3 years, which is really all we're looking at in these windows anyway, when you're either contending or rebuilding.
Right. And you cannot trade for those running backs.
No.
Draft. Like, there's zero chance I can trade for Cam Akers later. I'm not going to be able to move for any of them. I have a better chance of getting a receiver there, which almost made me double up there. But it's too hard to pass on Jefferson, what he's done.
Yeah, he's for sure electric. After Jefferson, we had Stephon Diggs, DK Metcalf. Patrick Mahomes is the first quarterback off the board. AJ Brown, and then Aaron Jones before I come back up at the 207. So this is an interesting spot because there's some talent at wide receiver that I really like, and there's some running backs that I feel pretty good about. But I think at this point, I'd rather take a guy that I feel really, really strong, like, just trust my conviction and what I think the outlook is for the next couple of years on one of these receivers, because I think I can get a running back that I'm comfortable with when it comes back around in round three. Hopefully I'm right. But I will take Calvin Ridley. I think people, for whatever reason, got a little pushed off, like when Julio got dealt, or when it became kind of evident that Julio was going to get dealt. Like, oh, I hope this isn't, you know, Juju after AB was gone. Like, we thought he was going to be fine. But Calvin really averaged over 100 yards a game in games without Julio last year. Like, he's a bad dude. Like, it's not like we're projecting it. We've already seen him be a bad dude. And I think I don't see a scenario where he's not a, you know, a top five guy this year and easily a wide receiver one for the next 2 to 3 years. So I'll take him there and hope that I can get my running back in the next round.
And he has enough weapons around him where he's not going to be double, triple teamed. Like, you still have to worry about
record-breaking tight end Kyle Pitts.
the greatest tight end ever in Kyle Pitts. Hayden Hurst is still decent. Russell Gage is still someone you have to worry about because of his deep threat ability. There's a lot there to worry about, man. He's still going to be open.
Absolutely. After Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins goes next, and then Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift, Joe Mixon. So a little bit of a run on the running backs there. And Eric, you're back up with 212, and then the 312 or the 301. Either way.
So, should I wait for one more pick just to push it to the third round?
Got to get the ADP right.
Just do it.
Screw the
what you want to do.
So yeah, I don't really care. This is one QB. I'm taking my guy here. It's either Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson for me. I don't think you can really go wrong with either guy. I'm going to go with Josh Allen just because I like the passing floor a little more. Just the idea of pairing him with Christian McCaffrey is very, 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 very attractive to me. And then I am going to finish off my running backs here. I'm going to take Najee Harris. I like that 1-2 punch. Oh, wait. What can I pick?
I don't know.
Sleeper doesn't want me to be great. Let me be great, Sleeper.
You know why you can't pick? Because this was the Scott Fishbowl.
What the hell is that?
Hold on. I'll fix that. Well, I'll give you the pick once it goes.
Wow.
A little bit technical difficulties. We were coming through Scotty Fish season here.
Yeah, I'll fix that real quick. Anyhow.
Well, Najee, unfortunately for me, is the guy I was hoping was going to make it back to me in round three, and that didn't happen. So I think that's an excellent pick, Eric.
Third round, I get it that he's only a rookie, but that receiving ability, I feel strongly about Najee Harris. Plus, they always like to throw to the running backs in Pittsburgh, no matter who the quarterback is. So I will gladly take Najee at 3-0-1, not 3-12. Scott Fishbowl drafting. What is that?
My bad.
Yeah, honestly, I would pay third round startup prices for Najee all year this year. Like, I think that easily returns the value that you want for the next, you know, 3 to 4 years. I love him, man. I remember saying in like October, November, like Najee feels like a Pittsburgh Steeler, right? Like that. I know the offensive line isn't the best, but I think if someone's gonna overcome it, it'll be him.
Yep. I'm not all too worried about the murky future that Pittsburgh has. Najee Harris is a baller. I will take
for sure.
I don't know what happened here. We're off technical difficulties.
All I care about is that Najee's on my team.
All right,
as long as that happens, we're good, baby.
Yeah. Josh Allen. Oh, shit. Do you want to plug your picks in real quick, Eric? Sorry about that.
All right, so at the 2-12, I'm going to take Najee Harris just to bump him up to round two there. And then is it going to go back the other way?
I went back the other way.
Okay.
Third down reversal is still there. This is...
What the hell? So, yeah, Josh Allen. Okay, cool. I'll fix that. And anyhow, we'll go back to you.
It's on you.
Huh?
It's on you.
It's on me. Yeah, Anthony, you're up.
You're trying to Scott Fish my pick here.
Yeah, it's still on you, Foss. It's still like stuck on third round reversal.
Wow, I don't know how to fix that. Awesome. So I'm gonna take. I'm gonna plug this Josh Allen in there for me. Sorry, Eric.
I beg your pardon.
All right. Well, the picks that went in between Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Antonio Gibson, CeeDee Lamb, Josh Jacobs, and Kyler Murray. So I was considering Kyler Murray at that pick. He's my QB2 in Dynasty right now. And the guy I feel best about for this year. There's crazy things going on the draft.
He fixed it. We're good.
Yeah. Say, I'm after Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray, 3-6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that works then. So yeah, Kyler Murray's my guy, but yeah, I think he's in the range of outcomes of finishing as the quarterback one this year. I really do. I love his upside this year. I think the rushing ability, I'm not worried about him not running the ball anymore after the injury last year. And yeah, I'll take the upside quarterback. So I feel pretty established that one of my running back spots, one of my wide receivers and a high end quarterback. And then off the board after that was Michael Thomas, J.K. Dobbins, Darren Waller, Terry McLaurin and Jamar Chase in the third round as well. So, Foss, we are back to you, and we are now on the road to success. We don't have to worry about any more round reversals. So you're up at the 3-12.
Gosh, the talent pool's dropping. I didn't want to take a quarterback this early. I didn't want to join in with the fun because I normally don't like to. With the way it's kind of fallen, I feel obligated to take Lamar here. Obviously, he's on the way to a second contract. He has that rushing upside. Same with Allen, Kyler, Lamar. You have no real question marks. You know what you're going to get. You have that chance for the QB1 every season. I have no worries playing, plug and play him every single week. And I'm going to plug him with DJ Moore here. I think we have that nice floor, DJ Moore. And kind of like we talked about last week, if he gets the touchdowns figured out and that QB situation gets clicking, he's already shown he can produce the yardage, the catches. If we get 2-3 more touchdowns a year, that's a top 10 receiver. And I'm willing to bet that on a guy who's the same age as some of the rookies this year.
Yeah. I hate to ever say like, oh, it just feels like he's due, but like he's due. Like he's due for touchdowns. I know it's like an argument from the heart and not from like the brain or any logic, but he's such a good proven receiver. Like you said, we've seen him put up yards. We've seen him both kind of get featured as a deep threat and, you know, in the short and intermediate game. Like I think he's a pretty complete wide receiver and can do a little bit of everything. I really hope that both for the weapons there and for Sam Darnold's sake, that Sam Darnold benefits from the change of scenery and, you know, under a real coaching staff and infrastructure more so than what he had the past couple of years in New York. So, and I think getting Lamar at the end of round three is pretty crazy value. Lamar going off the board as the fourth quarterback for a guy that, you know, is going to threaten for 1,000 yards rushing and you probably throw for somewhere just shy, maybe a 4,000 yards. He'll put up the touchdowns. So I don't think it's a bad move at all. It's weird this year more than ever, especially even in single quarterback, I've found myself being more willing to kind of jump in on quarterback earlier than I have in the past. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. Just part of it is I feel like I can punt wide receiver a little bit and like fade it for the first, you know, I want to get a guy and then fade it for the next couple of rounds. Cause I feel like in rounds 5, 6, 7, you can come back around with a guy that you feel really good about as your wide receiver too.
Yeah. Especially dynasty too. Cause we're getting guys, the quarterback's one of the positions that doesn't get traded as much in dynasty. And you want a guy who you can not worry about for 5, 6 years. I'm not saying the decade thing, because we know that's not true.
It's like, never true.
It's never true. But you can have the same quarterback for 5 or 6 years and be completely happy. And I'm really cool with that, Lamar. And like you said about DJ Moore, and he's due, targets lead to touchdowns. It's bound to happen.
All right, well, after DJ Moore, we had Miles Sanders go off the board next, and then David Montgomery, Allen Robinson, George Kittle, and Travis Etienne at the 4-6. So I'm back up at the 4-0-7. And, yeah, it's, you know, there's some – I'm gonna try something different here because, you know, we're mocking, so I want to see how this roster ends up. I'm going to take Kyle Pitts here at the 4-7 because I don't have any actual Kyle Pitts shares. So I'm going to take Kyle Pitts there. So this is kind of outside of how I would normally build a roster, you know, fairly early quarterback, fairly early tight end. But the upside of I'm going all in on Atlanta. I'm just going all in on Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts getting fed targets. But I hate to throw around the word generational, but he just kind of feels like one of those special dudes where I think we talked about last week, you're never going to be able to buy the dip on Kyle Pitts. Like, even if he doesn't perform up to how we all hope he does this year, nobody's going to trade him cheaper than right now. So ironically enough, like the 407 might be the cheapest you ever get him in one of these scenarios.
That gives me anxiety just hearing that, but I know it's right. Like, the fact we're taking an unproven guy at that position this early is just, it feels
crazy,
but it makes sense.
He feels like he could have the 7th greatest tight end season of all time.
I think you're just right.
Just a hunch. But all right, so we're back to me here. After Pitts, we had Chris Godwin at 4-8, Mike Evans 4-9, Keenan Allen 4-10, Brandon Ayuk 4-11. So we had a wide receiver run. I'm going to keep that going for now. Amari Cooper's still only 27 years old. I kind of love that. So yes, I'm going to take Amari Cooper here. That'll be my first wide receiver taken off the board. And my second one will be, whew, there's some good looking ones. This is where I like to go young. And I got Jalen Waddle here. I got Devontae Smith. Oh man. Okay. I'm way more of a Waddle guy, but oh God. You know what? No, I'm sticking with it. I'm going with Jalen Waddle. I'm staying true to the heart here.
Wait a man up.
Jalen nice. Waddle is a stud. I don't care about the seeming problems with Tua there. I think Jalen Waddle is just an absolute game breaker. He's a problem. So I'll take him at 5-1. That's my wide receivers to start. Amari Cooper, Jalen Waddle.
I love it. I love Waddle as well. I think that I'm not worried. I'm still kind of in on Tua. Like I'm not in on that he's going to finish in, you know, the top 10 or top 12 necessarily, but I'm in that he's still going to be a good NFL quarterback. I'm not ready to throw in the towel on that.
I still want to believe in him, but here's the one thing that I keep coming back to. His injury was similar to the injury that Bo Jackson had. That makes me nervous as hell.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to really come to terms with the fact that the injury was real bad. But I'm still hopeful.
It could be we might never see, you know, the player we thought we were going to see. But I'm hopeful, like you said, that we can see some version of that, because I guess we won't ever know. I had a conversation with Connor Rogers from Bleacher Report, where we were talking about Tua, and he pretty much said the same thing. Like, we won't know till after someone, you know, maybe he writes a book someday and is like, I was never right, you know, after that injury, and just kind of got as close as I could to it. On the Amari Cooper tip, I will take Amari Cooper, and this isn't a slight at CeeDee Lamb because I love CeeDee Lamb, but I'll take Amari Cooper around later than him every time because he gets treated like an old wide receiver, but he's not old. Like,
yep. I get the whole love with CeeDee. Actually, to be honest, right now, the feeling around fantasy football Twitter is that there's not a lot of love around CeeDee Lamb, which is weird to me. Yeah. Like, you got the people who really love CeeDee Lamb, and then you got the people who are trying to, like, crap on him, and there's no, like, middle ground. It's a middle ground, people. Like, they both – we can exist here. That whole offense, the whole passing – like, normally I'm not in on the Dallas tight ends, but, like, that whole passing offense is going to eat. Like, they're going to throw the ball so goddamn much this year. Their defense is not going to be much improved. I mean, they're just Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Jarwin, Schultz, Zeke, Pollard. Give me all of them. Like, literally, that offense is going to be wild this year.
No joke. I must have stared at my Dallas projections for like 2 hours the other day. Like, this can't be right. Like, because the numbers are bonkers.
It is.
That's how CeeDee Lamb's my wide receiver five, and it's just I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's too good. The situation, we have to bet on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're hedging our bets, and this all everything makes sense. A fantastic quarterback everybody hates. Really talented receivers. No defense. And they're going to throw and score a lot. Like, it's
the perfect storm.
It is the perfect storm. Why fight it? And CeeDee Lamb is getting drafted a lot higher than Twitter makes it seem like he should be. Like, consistently, he's always drafted in that third round area, even in redraft. But I feel like the people who are voicing against him are just louder.
I don't understand why we're voicing against him either. What exactly is the argument against him? He had over 1,000 yards with crap court. Well, wait, didn't he have like 900? Was like it 900?
824, I think.
Something like that. But like, really? With crap quarterback play, you think Dak coming back where he's just going to be like, you know what? No, he's going to have a down year. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
You know what it is? It's because we're halfway through July and waiting for training camp. And like you said, the slogan for Twitter should be like what you said. There's no middle ground. It should be twitter.com. There's no middle ground. Like, choose your side and defend your honor. Because if you want to hedge your bet,
unsheathe the sword and let's get it on.
It has been such a hostile place for the last like month, but the last few days especially, it's gone totally off the rails.
Luckily, training camp is in 10 days.
Thank God. We'll have real stuff to argue about, and you know, hopefully, may all of our takes be correct.
Especially the Kyle Pitts 7-1.
So after Waddle, we had Chris Carson and Javonte Williams go back-to-back, and then Dak and Justin Herbert go back-to-back. So a couple running backs, a couple quarterbacks. I am up at the 506. And it's an interesting group of players that's here. My heart, my gut wants to go running back. But Javonte Williams was the guy I was hoping was going to make it back to me, and that doesn't happen. So I think I'm going to wait a bit there, and I am going to take T. Higgins. I think T. Higgins is kind of getting pushed down for some people because of Ja'Marr Chase coming around, and I don't think there's anything to me that says both of those guys, similar actually to the CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper thing, I think both T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase can eat. Like, I was looking at the Bengals projection similar to the Cowboys, and like, I had to stare at the page for a while again because I think that both T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase this year can, you know, be over 1,100 yard guys. Like, I really think both can still really, really get a good amount of the workload there. And Higgins is a guy that already proved he can do it to an extent last year. He got kind of overthought a little bit coming into those rookie drafts and pushed down for people. So I will, you know, I'll be happy with him as my wide receiver two on really almost any dynasty team. I'd be quite satisfied with that.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone heard me mumble under my breath. I'd say kind of things. But yeah, I love the Higgins pick. I was hoping he'd fall to me. Even with Chase there, man.
I love it.
It's similar to Dallas. They're going to throw the ball a lot.
A ton. An absolute ton.
He is a monster in the red zone.
Yeah.
I love T. Higgins. We've heard nothing but raves. And I know coach speak and stuff, but you hear Burrow talking him up. Everybody's talking him up. I'm all in on him still. And I think we're getting a little value now.
Agreed. Agreed. And so after Higgins, we got T.J. Hockenson, Cooper Kupp, Kenny Golladay, Kareem Hunt, and James Robinson. And Foss, you're back up at the 5-12.
Well, I'm normally not a person who believes – I'm not a huge person of stacking, but I love the Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews stack here. Mark Andrews has been kind of forgotten about this offseason, and a lot of people have kind of acted like he didn't have a good year last year when he finished his tight end 4. And he's still Lamar Jackson's favorite target. He's his boy in the red zone. We've seen 10 and 7 touchdowns the last 2 years, which at a position that's built off inconsistency, that's what I want to see, is something I can trust and get behind. And he gives me that there. So I'm going to run that stack, felt tight end position, because I'd rather be completely early, get one of the top 5 guys, than get nobody and just stream. Like, there's no in between. Like, you have to either get it or you're done.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take him there. I really want a running back, but it's literally just garbage left. It's the position.
It's not
just
good.
It gets just drained quick. In a dynasty, I feel like I regret my Justin Jefferson pick, even though I love him. But, like, you can't – there's nothing there. And, gosh. You know what? I am going to take a running back. And I'm going to blame John Lobb. Shout out to you, because you've been talking about this dude nonstop recently. And I'm not fully there yet, but I believe in the upside. I'm picking Trey Sermon.
Oh.
I think if he gets the job in San Francisco and stays healthy, unlike every running back there, he could be a stud there in that Shanahan offense. I'm going to take the chance. It may be a little bit early, but wide receiver is still deep enough where there's a lot of guys who could rotate in to help someone will fall to me.
If you didn't take him there, I probably would have taken him if he made it to me, because wow. I have nothing outside
of that. I was wrestling, man. Like, it's bad.
It is.
Like, we have Ronald Jones, Chase Edmonds, Michael Carter, and A.J. Taylor in the next guy. That's
gross. That is gross.
And this is only round 6. Like, it's really bad.
Yeah, this is a public service announcement for get your running backs early in startups. Well, after Sermon, Julio Jones goes at the 602, which I love that pick in a startup. Like, if you're going for it this year, I mean, I'll take Julio Jones in the 6th round to try and win a championship in the first year and be done with it.
Yeah.
And then Myles Gaskin, Devontae Smith, Deontay Johnson, and Chase Claypool. So we get those Pittsburgh wide receivers back to back. I'm back up at the 607. Like you said, running back is not good. There's nobody to be too excited about in any particular way. So I'm going to continue waiting that one out a little bit. And, you know, I gotta do this for my brand. I'm going to take Jerry Jeudy there. I'm going to take Jerry Jeudy at the 607 and keep adding to my wide receivers. If I can have Jerry Jeudy as my third guy, I feel really, really good about that, because like we talked about last week, I think he's the guy that his range of outcomes is he's getting drafted like a fringe wide receiver 1 this time next year. So if I can draft him as my third guy this year, I feel like I'm pretty well off in building that wide receiver group and having good young players there for a long time.
I dig it.
His name almost came out of my mouth instead of Trey Sermon. Like, that's what I was like. I don't want to take a running back, but that's all that's really left. So I'm going to have to. I want a Jerry Jeudy there. I love that pick.
After Jeudy, we had Robert Woods, Noah Fant, Russell Wilson, and Trevor Lawrence. And Eric, you're back up at 6-12 and 7-1.
All right. So first, I'm going to keep it kind of boring here. I'm going to go with Tyler Lockett. I think that's just good value at the end of the 6th. You know, wasn't he wide receiver 1 last year? He was wide receiver 1 last year, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I want to say he finished as like
in the ugliest kind of way.
In the ugliest kind of way, but yeah. Nope, we take those.
Yep.
Then
points still count.
alluding to the fact that I'm going to take a tight end at the end here. I don't like how Ryan went deep with the Trey Sermon pick, so I'm going to go deeper than that. And I'm going to pick future star wide receiver Elijah Moore from the Jets.
Let's go.
I am conducting whatever the hell a guy who leads a train is. That's me for Elijah Moore. He's going to be a stud.
I can tell you all that's like, there has not been a bad word said about that man.
I've seen every single report.
Anybody and I'm like, on the Jets
look, team. Man, I get it that there's a lot of good buzz on him, but I don't care if the buzz was negative either. This guy is going to be undeniable.
I think it was.
He is a star.
Yeah, I think it was DJ Bieniemy, the Daily News beat writer, who like was answering Twitter questions one day, and somebody asked him, "Oh, you know, who does Elijah Moore look like out there?" And he just quote tweeted it and said, "AB." It's like my hype went off the rails at that point in time.
Man's a monster. Get out of his way.
He really is.
Tyler Lockett was wide receiver 8 last year.
Ooh,
I'll take that at the end of the 6th.
Yep. After Moore, we had DJ Chark, Odell Beckham, Adam Thielen, and Cortland Sutton. So there's an interesting group of wide receivers to come off after Elijah Moore. I'm back up at 7:06. And still not a lot to be excited about in the running backs, but I'm going to need one eventually, but now's not the time. I'm just going to keep waiting it out till I have to.
Treat it like a kicker. Got it.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't feel great about it. So I'm going to go with another guy that we talked about being a value. I'm going to take Juju Smith-Schuster because I think that's a very nice value at the 7th round. A guy that we mentioned last week, you know, was going as early as round 2 in startups a year ago or a year and a half ago. So I'll take him and just keep stacking my wide receivers till I have to take one of these gross running backs here and around.
And Juju's still only like 17 years old. So that's really good. That's a really
he's getting
good
younger. Somehow.
He's going backwards.
After Juju, we had Ronald Jones, Joe Burrow, Chase Edmonds, Michael Carter, and Dallas Goedert. Foss, you're up at 7:12 and 8:01, and we'll be bringing this thing home.
I feel like we're getting that really close there. And Juju was wide receiver 16 last year. And
people forget.
And he's only 24 years old, but we all hate him. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm going upside here because we have a lot of just – weird players around this. Take LaVisca Chenault. We talked about him kind of last week. He's came to the point where he's a value, and he should be their target leader there in Jacksonville, and he's attached to Trevor Lawrence. Whatever you think about Urban Meyer, he's attached to a young, talented quarterback. They can grow up together. And round 7, I'm cool with it. Like, let's not overthink. And for my last pick, I kind of don't like anybody here, but there's one running back left who's starting and just falling in value, and there's been only good news coming about him as camp and being the lead back, and we're a little bit high in ADP for it, but I don't care, and that's Damian Harris. There's nothing like Patriots. I've heard nothing but good things, and I know they lie more than any team in the world.
Yeah,
but sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire, man. The kid's a stud. I remember when he came out of college. I love the talent set, and I still do. And if he gets the majority of the carries there, that's fantastic for fantasy. So I'm in.
What you mean the Patriots lie more than any team in the world? The Patriots are the quietest team.
Okay, Miami lies more than any team in the world. But the Patriots, I don't know. The Patriots.
You don't even hear a peep from us. We don't say word. Do you remember that when Belichick just came up there and mumbled? What do you mean we lie?
I remember when Rex Burkhead was running back 1 in camp. But
Rex Burkhead was filthy last year until he got hurt. What are you talking about?
Shh, okay.
It's nothing but the truth. We never cheated either.
I probably should have taken Damian Harris a round ago. That was the last guy I was hoping was going to make it to me, but I thought I could wait a month until the end.
Running back's brutal.
It is bad right now. After Harris, we had Jalen Hurts, Aaron Rodgers, A.J. Dillon, Mike Davis, and Justin Fields. So with my last pick at 8:07, it's really like, who do I feel least gross about with any of these running backs? None of it is particularly good. And as much as I like my tight end situation and all my wide receivers, boy, I really hate my running back situation post everything after Jonathan Taylor. man, it's not going to feel good, but I guess I'm going to take Raheem Mostert just on the off chance that he stays healthy for a portion of the season. And if he does, I think, you know, he'll share some work with Trey Sermon. I think eventually cede that job to Trey Sermon, but I at least feel like I'll have somebody to throw in there as a starter for the time being. I'll have to make a mock trade at some point to address my bad running back group. But after Mostert, we have Mike Gesicki, Rashad Bateman, Irv Smith, and Hunter Henry. And Eric, you're up with your last pick, the 8-12.
Well, I see here I have a quarterback, I have two running backs, I have two wide receivers, I don't have a tight end, so I'm going to go tight end here. I'm taking Johnny Smith. Dave Kluge, friend of the pod, tweeted out today that he just tweeted a picture saying 4 years, $50 million, which is Johnny Smith's contract, and they didn't pay him that to be a turnstile. I agree. Johnny Smith. Give me him at 8-12. How bad is the running back position in Dynasty Startups, people? Mike Davis and A.J. Dillon were taken in an 8-round startup draft here.
Yeah.
So that just tells you everything you need to know.
It's bad. I don't know if you did it on purpose or just because of the fell, but the running back start that you had ended up working out the best.
Yeah.
Because I'm not comfortable with Cam Akers and Trey Sermon. Like, that Chris McCaffrey, Najee Harris looks a lot nicer now than I thought it would. Like,
I agree, because I love my group of receivers, but looking back, like, if I could have swapped Calvin Ridley and ended up with something like Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Swift, and then, you know, addressed wide receiver a little bit later, I'd still feel pretty good with having, you know, T. Higgins, Jerry Jeudy, Juju, those guys. I can kind of piecemeal a good wide receiver group together, but Raheem Mostert does not feel good as my running back too.
No. And this is why we mock. And this is why you run best balls. This is why we do this year round, because this is how it happens, man. Teams fall and you get rolling in real hurry.
Yeah, but this is why I don't like mock drafting, because this is probably my 4 years doing this damn show, we've probably done at least 50 to 100 mock drafts, and this is one of my favorite teams that we've ever mocked it.
Well, don't worry, I'll never get to use it.
I won't ever get to use it. That's what I don't like about this.
Take a screenshot of it and
and just save it for the memory bank.
Well, I know everybody's got some vacations coming up, so you guys got anything you want to add before we wrap this up and say bon voyage until everybody's back from vacay?
We are not in next week. We're going to miss all y'all. But we'll be back after that and hop in some cool stuff.
The Patriots speak nothing but the truth. See you in 2 weeks.
Okay. I'm glad it's 2 weeks now.
I love it. Well, thank you all for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Draft Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. If you've enjoyed this episode and have not already, please consider subscribing. And if you would, leave us a 5-star review. It'd be greatly appreciated. And we'll catch you guys when we're all back from vacation, nice and tan.